Hey everyone, I'm Angela.
And I'm Andy.
And welcome to The Magistream, the podcast for Magestans by Magestans. We wanted to create a podcast that we could use to talk about Magistry's rules, its lore, its players, and lots of other stuff as well. This podcast will also feature songs and performances from our players and staff, a chance to ask Ryben anything, and discussions about things that have happened at game.
This episode will be talking about leaving Elmerton for new places. We'll learn more about our most noble house, Lavendros. We'll hear a song by Magento, and we'll hear just how many dogs a dog would, and then we'll head over to take a look at our winter party stuff.
People don't understand it. Say I'm too old to believe in magic. Your only limit is what you can imagine. So come and listen, la 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 la. You're still dreaming of your last plot. After game ends, do you feel lost? Are you worried we forgot you? Introducing the Magistream. Come ask Ryben anything. We'll be your bridge between the games. People don't understand it. They say I'm too old to believe in magic. The only limit is what you can imagine. So come and listen, la 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 la. So come and listen, la 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 la.
Welcome to the podcast, and let's start off with a segment we like to call Clarify. Here we'll talk about various rules clarifications or questions that you might have about the rules, or even things that happened at the last event that you found confusing. You can send us questions, comments, or suggestions at themagistream@magistry.com. Today, we're going to talk about Elmerton moving.
First off, we're going to talk about the in-game reasons that we're given for why we're moving. The biggest of which is that the results of the Noble Conclave and Windlock ceding new lands to House Lavendros. And Lavendros is going to be stretched very thin and is going to rely on us, who've been so instrumental in maintaining Elmerton and the surrounding area, in helping to take care of the Lavendros' new lands. Now, some people were a little bit confused because Cornelius mentioned that he was going to be moving Elmerton to the bottom of lake to turn it into an aquarium. And while that's possibly something that he could do, he's probably not going to follow through on that. Going along with the back to the Noble Conclave, if Windlock had lost their challenge that Windlock made against them, we would have lost the land to House Windlock, and they would have probably burned everything to the ground. So we're lucky that that didn't happen, but that was one of the possible outcomes for the conclave.
Right, and we'll talk a little bit more about this in our next segment about, you know, it's called Knowledge Local, about Lavendros. But the Declaration of Enmity was something that was cast by Windlock a couple years ago that basically said that they wanted to destroy House Lavendros for various reasons. And they so they made a Declaration of Enmity, and they tried to follow it through with a Noble Conclave, and that turned out poorly for them. But only just barely.
Yes.
All right, so welcome to our next segment. We're going to be doing a knowledge segment where we'll have useful tidbits of information on varying subjects depending on the knowledge that we are choosing to dispense. Today's knowledge? Knowledge Local. We're going to be talking today about House Lavendros. Of course, this is the ruling house of what has been Elmerton for a long time, and its heraldry is, well, we've written it as being displayed as a baying silver wolf in front of a silver moon. Or gold moon, rather, and with the field divided by a light and dark purple. However, I've gotten a more
authentic
description of that, and it is called Purpure on a Roundel Or, a Wolf's Head Erased Contourni Ulliolant Argent, which is a mouthful. So a bit of translation from our very own Aelif Finisterra. She says, in general, things go from back to front, so we start with the background. You know, purple equals purpure. There's not really a way in heraldry, I guess, to deal with two different shades of purple or the tiny trees. So, you know, those are basically artistic license. On that field, we have a yellow circle, the roundel ore. And on that is a howling ululant wolf, which is gray argent, facing to the right, contorni. The erased part means that there's kind of a jagged edge where the head would meet the body rather than a clean, straight one. Mm. And I am sorry, Whitney, for kind of screwing that up royally. But my mouth is not used to speaking in authentic blazon terms. So what we have written for the heraldry is that the wolf is somber, singing out to the moon and the secrets it holds. The Lavenders have always said that sovereignty must be tempered, that there are varying degrees of justice. And because of this, they don't have the solid field. Rather, they have two shades of purple. Their words, as they were, are in the light of the sun, clarity, and under the moon, revelation. And they're cryptic, but it hints at how important they feel the pursuit of knowledge is.
Knowledge.
Did you know that?
I did not know that. And now I'm so excited. I'm so excited when I learn new stuff about magistry. But some stuff I did know was that House Lavendros first made an appearance at magistry when people who were from, was it Hainesville or Hannesville? I always pronounce that wrong because I just read it in books. Arrived at an invitation from Lord Renoir to a harvest festival in the town of Elmerton in the year 2003 of the Age of Arrival, which corresponds to the year 2003 of, you know, our regular calendar of the Common Era.
Right. So the town went there for a harvest festival, and that was actually before even my time.
Oh, yeah.
So I wasn't there for Elmerton's first, you know, foray into Chesterfield. In fact, I wasn't really there until after most of the quarantine issue was taken care of. So House Lavendros obviously has a tie with lycanthropy and with the Bontekine Sway, but they were put under quarantine close to the year 2003 because of the curse of lycanthropy under the suggestion of Duke McAfee to the ruling king at that time. And I think actually his name was Rulian, if I'm not mistaken. King Rulian.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the king.
And,
yeah.
So they were under quarantine for a good long time, and people were fined and, you know, punished for leaving the town. And it was with the help of a few key players, including Linsara and Caban, that House Lavendros was cured and the Bontekine Sway were formed.
Well, because Bontekine Sway means healed brethren. They weren't the Bontekine Sway until the curse
was dealt with. Right, exactly. So, and then the quarantine was lifted.
Yep, and then later, after Renoir died, and there was a political mess with the actions of Duke McAfee, House Lavendros kind of became sort of a non-entity politically. They weren't really involved with too much stuff, and because they just own the area around Elmerton, and when Elmerton disappeared, they kind of didn't really have anything to be lords of. House Winlock was given the task of watching over the area where Elmerton was that became the Evernight Forest. And it was only when the land returned 117 years later that House Lavendros again was able to claim the area. But the dispute didn't fully resolve until just this past year. There was some crazy stuff about the tavern was like owned by Winlock still, even though like inside the buildings was Winlock property, but outside it or something weird like that.
Right. Well, what happened was House Lavendros decided, you know, the Baroness came back and said, no, this is our lands. And Winlock said, well, it's kind of been our land for the past 117 years. So it's actually ours. And so there was a whole big dispute between whether or not Lavendros owned the land. And the truce or the compromise that was come up with was that Lavendros would own the land, but Winlock would own the buildings.
Right, so, and get the tax revenue on that.
Correct. Yeah, exactly. and that
the stuff that was actually valuable.
Right. So that was actually, you know, resolved this year. It didn't come into a full resolution. So the taxes that you collected and that tax collectors from wherever have collected actually went to House Lavendros.
Right.
But any taxes that came from the tavern were supposed to go to House Winlock. And that was kind of the beginning of this kind of bitter dispute. And
yeah, I mean, it's an awkward situation that can't really last forever, so.
Right. And it was that kind of like, along with, you know, maybe some vampires trying to get Winlock to.
Maybe.
Maybe. that incited the Declaration of Enmity and the big dispute that's been taking over the last 2.5 or so years of noble plot. But that said, like, the House Winlock did call a noble... I'm sorry, it wasn't House Winlock. It was House Donato called a noble conclave after hearing the cases for both Winlock and Lavendros. And quite honestly, this whole thing was seen sort of as an embarrassment to the rest of the nobility.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I talked to the royal archivist in the Capitol about that, and he was like, this is a mess. Like... Like, I'm like, what do people think about the different houses? Like, they think it's just a petty squabble, and it's annoying, and yeah.
Right, especially since there wasn't really, I mean, there were a couple of tragic events, like the carriage accident and the slaughtering of Winlock guards and whatnot.
Sure.
And those were tragic, but all in all, it did seem like a petty squabble, and most houses just wanted it to be resolved one way or the other. But because Winlock is a major house and an old house, they, you know, you obviously had to do things the right and proper way. So, yeah, and a noble conclave was called, and that's what happened last event on Friday night in the really cold amphitheater.
Yes, yeah, that was so cold.
It was so cold.
A lot of props to everybody who stayed for most of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, without, yeah, it was good to see all the people standing by us, and yeah, it was really
nice. It makes me, the reason we did it in the amphitheater, for anyone who's wondering why we didn't do it in the nice warm tavern, is because we knew that a lot of people would want to be there for it, and we also wanted to be able to hear, and that's kind of what the natural amphitheater does, is it kind of allows people to hear what's going on.
I wish it was a little warmer, though.
Yeah, but. yeah. There's only so much we can do to control that.
And that's true. That's true.
But in the end, House Lavendros won the day, thanks to... I tell you, though, it was tough. We debated behind the scenes for a long time about that, and we had to come up with, you know... We were like, all right, so if they can get us this evidence, then we'll call it for them. And you did. So that was...
Yep, we did.
That was good.
Yeah, Mike Falk was telling me, it's like, it was a close call.
Yeah. And so now, House...
Probably shouldn't have mentioned vampires, but.
Maybe not. Although I did like your explanation that Ryben just doesn't like withholding information.
Yeah, I can't not. So hard to keep secrets.
So maybe why maybe he shouldn't be, you know, an advocate. It's like, well, I can't withhold this information from you, Your Honor.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, maybe that makes him just an honorable advocate. But anyway, so House One Lavendros won the day. And has thus been promoted to the status of a major noble house for the first time in the Kingdom of Irvineshire, which is nice, which means that they also get a third of Winlock's assets and a third of their land holdings to help them to kind of maintain and develop their status within the kingdom.
So Winlock had quite a bit of land. It was kind of spread out. Like, most of their stuff is up in the North Farthing, which is basically like New Brunswick, Nova Scotia area.
Right.
That whole peninsula. But then they had like some bits of land in the South Farthings, and like, you know, the Elmerton area, and then a little bit of stuff near Kenrindel.
Yeah, they had a mountains. Pretty good chunk of land in between Kenrindel and the Icewinds.
Yeah.
So,
I'm not exactly sure what we got, but I'm sure I'll be finding out soon exactly what Winlock or what Lavendros has now, but probably all the South Farthing stuff and maybe some of that stuff up. Probably depends on where what camp we end up going to, huh?
Right, right. I do have a map that I have of all the noble house holdings in the area, and the only reason it's just not as pretty as I'd like it yet, so it hasn't. And you know, no one has actually info gathered about it. So.
All right. I'll take that challenge.
But yeah, so they, and then that just has to be reworked a little bit to show that Lavendros has these new lands. So some of the important figures that are members of House Lavendros right now are, of course, Baroness Lobeia. Some of you might know her as Huntress. She is the High Chiefess of the Bonte Kingsway. Very kind of rough around the edges noble, with a love for her pack, whatever shape it might take. She actually was married to Baron Simon Winlock.
Yes.
Yeah, that was a marriage of convenience and a marriage of status, and has been on the rocks. One of my favorite letters that I saw, Baroness wrote to a PC, and in the letter was like, yeah, I don't really want Simon to come back. So Simon has his alchemy lab in House Lavendros. It's a beautiful alchemy lab. It was like a dowry present, if you will. Though I'm sure that Lobeia would object to me calling it a dowry. But anyway, one of the players asked if Simon could go back to his lab to do some research. And she said that, yes, he could come back. But I have to be honest with you, in a fit of rage, I definitely destroyed a bunch of his work.
Yeah. No, yeah. I got a letter from Simon that was saying that, I forget exactly what it said, but like he'd written like, she got her hands all over it, he wrote paws, but then he crossed out paws and wrote hands. And it's like, yeah, I was ferrying letters between the two of them. Like, you know, mom says that she'll let you back into your study if you recognize, you know, it's just a mess.
Then we have Lord Renoir. And of course, he's been around since, you know, 2003 when he first invited Vorkarian's heroes to Elmerton. He actually did die a while back. We actually have pictures of it. It was very sad. People were very upset about it. But his first timeline self has returned to this timeline and very reluctantly taken on some of the duties of his house again. Mm-hmm. And of course, Lord Renoir is played by Scott, and Baroness Lobeia is played by Karen. And then looking through our list of the nobility that we have listed for Lavendros, we also have Lord Xanthos, played by Nick Donahue, and Lady Vera, played by myself, who are also members of the house. Xanthos tends to help run things like watch muster, and Vera tends to help with the clerical responsibilities of the house. They're both minor nobles. They don't have a whole lot of standing, although Xanthos has a whole lot of standing in the town. People, you know, love him, and they tend... If we need a trustworthy noble to go out, we are like, hey, Nick, you want to play Xanthos?
Yeah. It should be also be noted that several members of House Lavendros are also Waywatchers, as they're sort of an alternate identity. The Waywatchers don't reveal necessarily... like when they're on duty, they wear the masks and they don't like they try to keep their business and personal life separate. But
that's a good way of putting it.
yeah. But Renoir and Vera and a couple others, I think, are Waywatchers as well as being members of House Lavendros and Bonta Kinsway for that matter.
That's interesting. So that's your knowledge local about House Lavendros. And if you have any questions or comments or want to suggest what we should do for our next knowledge segment, you can just send us an email at themagistream. That's themagistream at magistry.com.
There we go.
All right, so now we want to take a brief moment to recognize one of our amazing sponsors for this show.
Oh, yes.
This is something that we've been collecting sponsors for the past couple of months, and it's really important to help keep our show going. So today's episode is brought to you by none other than Kale's Dill Dip.
Kale's Dill Dip, winner of the Aces Tradegate Harvest Festival in the year 126. Kale's Dill Dip.
Humans just love it. Next, we have a music break with a recording from one of Magistry's own maestros, Magento Laishi. This is our segment called Command Perform. Without further ado, take it away, Magento.
I know it's hard to carry on when life brings you every wrong. And I know the sting gets more every day, but no, I'm yours till my last day. But no, I'm yours till my last day. So fight with me through the old dark trees. We'll live to drink another day. times are so hard, we'll get through them arm in arm. We'll live to drink another day. And when you feel like giving up, like you've finally had enough, I'll be there with a smile, and I'll make you feel worthwhile, because I'm yours till my last day. So fight with me through the old dark trees. We'll live to drink another day. These times are so hard, we'll get through them arm in arm. We'll live to drink another day. We'll live to drink another day.
That was Anthony LaRosa, a.k.a. Magento Laishi, singing Drink Another Day. Thanks, Toner. I know it's hard to be first, but you did a great job. If you would like to be spotlighted on our Command Perform segment in our next episodes, please email us a recording of your song or performance, and we'll make sure to get you in there.
Welcome to Ask Ribbon Anything. The opinions expressed here are for informational purposes only and not for the purposes of legal advice. The opinions of Ryben Van Holt may not reflect the opinions of Magistry staff and may be factually untrue. Prior results do not guarantee a similar outcome, especially when time travel is involved. Our first question. Bram Norvin asks, how many dogs would Dogwood would if Dogwood could wood dogs? I'm sure the answer that Bram was looking for is Dogwood would wood all the dogs he could wood if Dogwood could wood dogs. The better question is, should he? And the answer is probably not, but knowing Dogwood, he probably would anyway. Unless what we're talking about is, like, flesh to stone, and he would be turning a dog into wood. Then I don't think Dogwood would wood a dog.
Yeah, it's probably true. He probably would not wood a dog.
Yeah. Normaron asks, how many trolls would it take to fill the Evernight? To which I asked, Irvinshirian or Dunshirian? Now, in order to answer this question, we're going to have to make a lot of assumptions and estimates. The Evernight is approximately 40 square miles in surface area and 118 years in length. It has also been proven to extend high enough into the air to catch an airship. However, given that the airship in question was crashing at the time that it entered the Evernight, this doesn't really provide us any useful information. There's 5,000 feet in a mile, so 40 square miles is 5,000 squared times 40, so 1 billion square feet in the Evernight. Assuming Irvinshirian wood trolls are packed one per square foot, that's 1 billion standing in the Evernight. But hang on, there's a lot of other stuff in the Evernight. Trees, rocks, a few buildings. Also, 1 square foot might be fine for skinny twig-like wood trolls, but they're not all the same size. So let's divide that number by 4. That gives us 250 million wood trolls, with on average a 2-foot by 2-foot plot of land each. Fine. Now, that covers an area the size of the Evernight, but we're not done. The Evernight is 118-ish years long, so if you plop those wood trolls down at the beginning of the Evernight, how long would they last? If you enter a year later, most of those wood trolls have certainly starved to death and faded away. So let's be generous and assume that these wood trolls survive on average 6 months. So that's 250 million wood trolls every 6 months for 118 years. That's 250 million times twice a year times 118 years. 59 billion wood trolls.
Whoa.
This is a bit of an extreme example. The Evernight isn't full of wood trolls, and those are pretty densely packed wood trolls. Now, Pep did say at one point that the entire Evernight, all 118 years of it, is filling up with the Ashenide. Assuming that they each have a million times as much area as the wood trolls, and that they live on average for 20 years instead of 6 months, that's still 1,475 insane Ashenide in the Evernight. With the Dark Stars not there anymore, how much longer are they going to stay in there?
Did you take into account how many wood trolls and Ashenide are killed by Elmertonians on a weekend basis?
No, I did not take that into account. But that amount is negligible next to these very large numbers. I think we can agree on that.
And the worst part is, when you're in the Evernight, you can't see them coming.
Yeah. So here's another thing about the Evernight. A lot of times we see, you know, wood trolls or Ashenide or Tom Shiri and soldiers come out and it's like, hey, haven't we seen those guys before? Maybe we have, with time travel involved. Maybe we are, fighting the same people over and over again.
That is kind of horrific.
Yeah.
Like, haven't I killed you before? In awful
ways. And then they get pulled out of the Evernight like 5 minutes before we killed them the last time. And then, you know, they're just looking, they're slightly younger every single time we killed them.
Oh boy. Well, that was a good, better answer than I thought we were going to get for a question about filling the Evernight with wood trolls.
Well, I try. Sorry.
All right. So, next, we get to another one of our knowledge segments called Knowledge Future. And this is a look ahead to what's coming in the future. And our very next event is Magistry's annual winter party. Right now, we have it booked for February 4th from our standard 3 p.m. to 11 p.m. Time slot. And you are welcome to come at any point and, you know, in that time slot and leave at any point during that time slot. Although I will say that our raffle is generally held at the end of the night, probably around 9:45 to 10 o'clock. We try and make it so that we have a good solid hour of dancing at the very least at the end. So about 9:45 to 10 o'clock is when we usually do our raffle. And you don't have to be there for the raffle, usually. But
some of the events, you kind of have to be the money one that they do is usually like reaching your hand into a pot. But pretty much most of the other stuff, you don't need to be there.
Correct. And if you...
And the potion grab bags, too.
Right.
You could probably get it done even if you didn't stay for that. But
right. Usually, if we pull someone's name who's not there, either we have a GM pull for them, or if they have designated somebody to take their place, then we have them pull for them.
The point is, we'd like to see you.
Right. We'd love to see you. It's it is not only a chance for everybody to hang out in an out of game setting and just kind of be with one another, but it's also what we usually use as our biggest fundraiser of the year. And this helps to keep the game costs down, but it also helps us to be able to buy cool props and to, pay for things like moving trucks when we have to move, or, almost certainly our rental prices are going to go up no matter which camp we go to. So that is something that, this helps to defray the costs of that as well. But mostly it's just a chance to kind of hang out with people and to see people at a game and to get to know folks. And it's a lot of fun. We always have a potluck-style dinner, which provides all of Majestans with a chance to earn some brownie points for bringing things to share to have at the meal. We will always provide pizza, but, we've always been very, the plethora of dishes that we have at every winter party is always astounding.
Yeah.
So we'll send out more information about that. We usually have games, trivia game that you can earn brownie points and skill points at. We have dancing. We have lots of prizes, including those that are in our raffle. Man, some of the old raffle prizes were things like a Power 5 Silence, which was used on me to great effect.
Oh, yeah. I was there for that. That was... you were the Fae Queen, right?
Yeah. It was a perfect use of it.
It was we were out at Isley and come back and there's this giant drum circle and chanting and
a demonic Isley.
There's demons and people forced to put all this. And then, Mike Canale was great.
It was such a perfect cinematic dramatic moment. And he got to use his raffle prize for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
We also offer tabletop games that are Magistry based, on your character and what your character's interests are, run by GMs. Yeah. Yep. That have ramifications for in-game things, and people have always loved those. We also have chances to earn money, chances to earn skill points, chances to earn little plot points that we try and work into the game. For example, Sandow got incarnation for a day.
Yes. Yep.
And got to last event. Was it last event? It was last event. No, the event before. Yeah, it was the Harvest Festival event.
Yeah, he had it for the Harvest Festival, yeah.
He got to be the incarnation of community and cast by my own power.
Yeah.
Which was pretty neat, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And then there was the one that I've gotten before, which was the like gigantic skill point build bigger than the skill cap.
Super Ribbon.
Yeah. And I got that to coincide with, like, I've been saving up my brawny points for special ability access, and I got that to coincide with being able to cast by the power of knowledge, so I got them both together, so that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and we always try to have, you know, new and interesting prizes in the raffle. And so, yeah, if you have suggestions for things you'd like to see in the raffle, we're always open to taking new suggestions. And
yeah, it's what you do with, like, the names of the prizes too, and like the themes. There was one that, like, category that was all like sleep related because of all the dream and stuff going around. There was like a power word nap that was like a really high powered, like power level 5 sleep or something. And then there was
power this, nap, like, which was
you
couldn't be or I think it was called power nap, but you couldn't, as long as you were in your bed, you could cast like a whole bunch of healing spells and a couple of resurrects, but you had to stay in your bed.
Yeah, and then there was something with like a blanket fort, like if you're under a blanket, hiding under a blanket, you and everyone under the blanket got to defensive stance or something.
that's right.
There's some really wacky prizes out there that are a lot of fun.
Yeah, we usually have a lot of fun coming up with those and you know, making unique things that, you know, you can't use usually in game that you can only get through the raffle.
And then there's some stuff that's not even necessarily usable in game. In the past, people have like donated like cloaks or jewelry or other stuff that people have bid on, so that like even the NPCs have stuff that they can, people who are going to be NPCing forever have stuff that they might want to bid on. So that was nice.
Yeah, I mean, if you'd like to donate something, if you are a crafter or a maker and would like to donate something to the raffle, please, you know, let me know. We can give you brownie points, or we can discuss other means of, you know.
Compensation.
Thank you. Compensation for those. So if you'd like to donate something, yeah, let us know, and we can put it in the raffle, and people would love to see it there. The other thing that we do, and then we'll send more information up about, is the superlatives, which are always kind of fun. It's the various, you know, different things about Magistry that people like, whether it's the best villain. I'm of course voting for Harkin on that one, Dreamweaver Harkin.
Okay, sure, okay.
Or good whether choice. It's the best dressed, you know, or, you know, who has the best costume and props, or who's the best and safest fighter. So we usually have a bunch of superlatives out there for people to vote on. And it's always interesting to see who's next.
Yeah.
So we hope to see you at the winter party. We'll have tickets available as soon as we finalize a couple of other details. And it's usually, in the past, it's been $20 for a ticket to get in. You know, that's, it's kids under, you know, 14, I guess 13 and under come for free. So you can bring, you know, it's a very family oriented party.
Future Majestans,
yes. So yeah, we hope to see everybody there.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. First episode in the books. If you would like to be a part of the Magistream in our future episodes, you can just email us at themagistream@magistry.com. You can also send us your questions for Ask Ribbon Anything, your comments, and your suggestions for future segments. Thank you to Bram and Normaron, who both sent in questions for this episode. And thank you, too, to Toner for sending us our very first Command Perform segment. And finally, thank you to Sam Rochford, who composed and performed the theme music for this podcast. You can find more of Sam's music at facebook.com/Sam Rochford Music. This podcast has been a production of Magistry, copyright P-Double Games. You can find more information about our LARP at magistry.com or on our Facebook page at facebook.com/Magistry. Next time on Magistreaming,
we're going to be visiting some place on Majesta. We're going to talk about the skill Feat of Strength, give you the opportunity again to ask Ribbon anything, and we'll talk about the Winter's Children and their ability to sting your toes and bite your noses off.
Thanks. Bye.
Introducing the magistrate. Come ask scribe in anything. Be a bridge between the games. People don't understand it. Say I'm too old to believe in magic. The only limit is what you can imagine. So come and listen, la 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 la. So come and listen, la 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 la.